Well, it is such a blessing to be back with you all today. Get the opportunity to be able to just lay out what God has laid upon my heart this week. I know the last two Sundays I've been, as some people would say, been out playing vacation in France. Well, at least that's what my wife would say. But when I got to talking to her and telling her, like every evening when I called her about 11 midnight my time, I was like, you know, we were up at like 5:30 in the morning and it was just a go, go, go. I did not realize how hard being over there, being a planner, setting up and running everything that we did for Normandy 75, because this was the 75th anniversary of the Allies invading into France. But just the multitudes of ceremonies that we had to cover, the other things that we had to make sure that we had people at the right time, it just, you know, and then what was even funnier was the sun came up probably about 5 o'clock and it got dark probably about 11 or 11:30. You start looking at your watch and you go, hey, it's about 10:30. Have we ate dinner yet? It seemed like we kept on going and going and going. But, I really missed you all. While I was gone, I really enjoyed being here. And one of the things, as we were singing all the songs this morning, I'm sitting here thinking, man, I don't even need to get up and preach. We've already had worship service. But I feel like God has laid this on my heart. So as you can see, the title there is called Sleeping Giants. We're going to be in Romans 13, verses 11 through 12. And as you look at this picture, you can see it's a father with three children. It's kind of, you know, son's kind of going down and he's just hanging out with his father. You know, when I looked at this picture, one of the things I thought of was when my kids were younger, you know, opportunities kind of missed. And I say that because I don't ever remember taking a picture or standing with my kids like this, just being able to look at God's beauty and God's grace that he's given to us and his blessings that he's given to us each and every day. It seems like what happens is we get caught up in a cycle. We keep on going and going and going. And a lot of times what's going on is we are so busy that we forget sometimes to appreciate the blessings of God. Amen. Because we forget to appreciate these blessings, we miss out on opportunities like this. Just to stand there with our kids and look across at the blessings that God has given us. So, in looking at Romans 13, 11 through 12, I'll read the scripture here in a second while we turn this. As Christians, we should be considered giants in this world. We should. Christ, as our Lord and Savior, should continually give us the reassurance each and every day that no matter what we face, we can stand tall. We can stand boldly in knowing he is always with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And it says that in the Bible. Amen. It says it in Hebrews 13:5. It also says it in Deuteronomy 31:6. He will never leave us or forsake us. You know, when we talk about standing tall, a lot of times, and Laura will be the first one to tell you, she says, I slouch when I stand up. And she's over there laughing right now at me because she's saying that your posture stinks. I go, I know. But you know what's funny is you talk about my physical posture, but one of the things I want you to think about as I finish reading through some of the notes I have here, what's our spiritual posture? Yeah. Are we slouching in our spiritual posture? Are we slouching? Men, are you slouching as being the spiritual leaders in your household? And I'll get into that in a few seconds because for the longest time, I slouched in being the spiritual leader of my household. There is a lost world that's out there that is searching for the truth, and we may be the only truth that they ever come across in their life. They are looking for us to show God's love and to point them to the cross. They're examining us to see what is different about us and all things we may face and what makes us as Christians different. Just the sheer fact of knowing this should make us giants in this world. Just as Brother Ronnie has said multiple times, he's read the end of the book and he knows how things end. Amen. God wins in the end, and my God, and I hope your God today, is bigger than anything you could ever think or imagine. Amen. As you can see, I'm preaching to myself. I am. I'm standing up here, and as I was going through this and seeing what God was revealing to me, I'm preaching to myself here today. But as Christians, and with today being Father's Day, I would even take it one step further by saying, Christian fathers, today we are asleep to the concepts that I've just talked about and that I've just brought up. As giants, why don't we speak with boldness? As giants, why don't we lead with perseverance? As giants, why don't we walk in assurance when it comes to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Why don't we? And that's one of the questions I want you to think about today as we go through this. Let's go ahead and look at Romans 13, 11 through 12. And please stand if you have your Bible and read with me. Romans 11, 13 through 12. Or Romans 13, 11 through 12. And I'm reading out a New King James Version. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearest than when we ever first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be able to come into your house and to worship today, Lord. Lord, as we begin to look at the scripture that you've given to us, Lord, I just ask that I decrease and you increase. Lord, I just ask that if there is one here today that does not know you as Jesus, as Lord and Savior of their life, Lord, I just ask that you would draw them closer to you. Lord, I just want to thank you for all the fathers that are here today, Lord, and the special meaning of today, Lord. But Lord, we want to thank you for being our Heavenly Father, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you have done for us, all that you continue to do, and all that you will continue to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so as we're looking at these concepts here, the first point I want to bring up here is that we need to wake up. Amen. We've got to wake up. If you read verse 11 alpha, the first part of verse 11 here, it says, and do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of your sleep. I will tell you that Christians have been sleeping for way too long. They have. And I have been, I'm one that's been sleeping too. I'll be the first one to tell you that I have. There are many examples of Satan taking control of our homes, our churches, towns, states, nation, and this world. There are many examples out there. And what are we doing, just as I spoke about earlier, to stand tall and boldly speak? What are we doing to stand tall and boldly speak? For there to be an awakening in our churches, there has to be an awakening in our homes. And men, I'm going to tell you, as a spiritual leader, it starts with you, just like it starts with me. There has to be an awakening in our home before there is an awakening in our church and before there is an awakening in this nation. It starts with us as men. The bottom line up front, and I'll tell you, we like to use this term in the military, bluff, bottom line up front. If there's nothing else you get out of the sermon today, this is the one thing that I would like for you to really get. As Christian fathers and men, we should be giants for Christ in our homes, our churches, and our workplace, especially for this lost world. Amen. I know Brother Ronnie has spoken on this, and I have talked to some of my friends about this too, but it only takes one spark. Amen. It only takes one spark for a blaze to burn. It does. And for that one spark, you know, it could be you. It could be you, Mike. It could be you, Randy. It could be you, John. It could be anybody in this church. It just takes that one spark. You know, I've talked to many of my friends about this too. And, you know, there are many wildfires that are happening across the nation and all that. And a lot of times, it's just that one spark. Next thing you know, there's something set ablaze and there's a lot of people trying to beat out the fire that's going on. But it just takes that one spark. And to get that fire going, you know, and especially when it comes to our homes and our churches and throughout this world, it just needs to be that spark that's within us. There are many examples that are out there. Here is one example of one spark that ignited a nation that I would like to read about. In 1904, a young ministerial student named Evan Roberts began to feel that God was sending an urgent message that he was going to pour out a mighty spiritual revival on Wales, which is now a part of Great Britain. Roberts began attending various revival meetings, and during one, he deeply was moved by the Spirit. As he prayed at the altar, he cried out, "Bend me, O Lord." This was a complete and total surrender to God's will. Roberts soon returned to his home church to preach the message of revival, but his pastor was reluctant to let him speak at all. In a compromise, the pastor announced that Roberts would be speaking following the regular prayer meeting, and anyone who wished to stay were welcome. Only 17 people stayed to hear Evan speak, and most of them were teenagers and young adults. Evan Roberts spoke in the church for nearly 2 hours with a simple four-point message that he was going to, that he was convinced that God would help bring revival. And I've got a four-point message today, and I promise you we're not going to be here for 2 hours. When Roberts was finished speaking, amen. When Roberts was finished speaking, all 17 young people were at the altar on their knees crying out to God. The message that he gave was simply 4 points that said, confess all known sin to God, deal and get rid of any doubtful area in your life, be ready to obey the Holy Spirit instantly, and confess Christ publicly. Amen. They prayed until about 2 a.m. that night, and it was the beginning of one of the greatest movements of God in all history. By the end of the week, over 60 people were won to Christ, and over the course of the next year and a half, revival swept through the nation of Wales. Over 1 million people were led to the saving faith in Jesus Christ. The revival was so great that the national culture changed dramatically. And I'll tell you today, our national culture needs to change dramatically. We can be that spark that ignites revival in our nation. This means us as men, as Christians, and it also means each and every one of you here today as a part of the body of Christ. So what are some things that we need to think about when we wake up? Well, first of all, to wake up, you got to understand it's a new day. It is a new day. It took me a while to figure this out myself based on what I did in my life as a husband and a father. In 1980, I accepted Christ, and many of you all have heard my testimony before. In 1980, I accepted Christ when I was 5 years old. And I kept on going on through life, attending church and all that, and then Laura and I met in 1998, and we were married in 1999. 1999 to 2011. I tell you, that was probably when I really was at my worst. But whenever Laura and I decided that we were going to put God first in our marriage in 2011, that's when I really started seeking God's will for me and my family in our life. And I'm not going to stand up here and sugarcoat everything and tell you that it's been all hunky-dory. I'm not. There are times where Laura and I, we still get, you know, on each other's nerves. There's times where the kids would rather just sit in the, you know, sit in their bedrooms playing on their systems. Yes, I'm looking at you, Noah. they'd rather just sit in their, you know, on their phones or their game systems or whatever. But, you know, we try to make time for each other in our family and do things together. 2017 is when, and many of you all were here, during a revival that we had in 2017, that's when I decided that I was going to stop running from God. And that is one of the reasons why I'm here today. And that gets to this point of what I'm talking about. It's a new day. It is a new day. Every day that we wake up is a new day. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become anew." Every day that God gives you here on this earth is a new day. It's not yesterday, and it's definitely not tomorrow. We must thank God for every day that He has given to us, and we must not waste time.
Amen.
Once we recognize that it's a new day, and then we're not going to slumber, then we need to get up.
Yeah.
You got to get up. I'm not going to lie, I'll be the first one to tell you, when the alarm goes off in my house at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm sitting here going, okay, where's the snooze button? You know, Laura will be the first one to tell you that usually I'm the one that just springboards right out of the bed, but I know I'm looking for the snooze button, and whenever you're doing it over and over again, it just becomes one of those things where you're just like, oh man, I don't want to get up. Isaiah 61 says, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. How many of y'all like to get out of bed in the morning when you don't have to raise your hand when the alarm goes off? You know, a lot of times, I see a few hands. I said you didn't have to raise your hands, but no, that's fine. Most of the time, when the alarm goes off, the reason why the alarms are going off and we're getting up out of bed, it's because we understand that we have a job to do. You know, we have a job that we're going to, and we got to get up, we've got to get ready, we've got to head in to work, we got to be on time so we don't get ridiculed for being late or even get reprimanded for being late. But the thing is we go, we do the job in our earthly and worldly job. But you know what? We've got to also get up for God. And the reason why I say that is because there is still a work that has to be done here on earth. There is a reason why you are sitting in the pew this morning. There's a reason why I'm standing behind the pulpit this morning. It's because we've got to get up. God has not called us home, and because He has not called you home, there is a reason why you are still here, and that is to share Christ to each and every person that you come in contact with. It is. It's a simple message. It's just as a simple message as we talked about that what happened in Wales with Mr. Robert Evans. We got to share Christ. Where is a mission to be done? Because there is a bigger field of lost that is outside these doors each and every day.
Amen.
And we have to get out there and we have to share God's love.
Amen.
It's time for us to get out of the pews. And I don't mean right now unless I've bored you or something. But we've got to get out of the pews because there's a work to be done.
Amen.
We can't just sit idle. You know what? In some of the churches that I've been in, when you talk to some of the older folks, they're like, well, I've done that. I'm just here to be fed. There's a lot of people that sit there and go, I've been involved. I've done this. I'm ready to be fed. I'm ready to hear what God is trying to talk to me about, what God is trying to reveal to me and all that. But the thing is, you got to get up. There is no such thing as Christian retirement. There ain't. There isn't. And there is a work to be done here today. So it's never too late. And the time, just as I said earlier, has to be now. So once we get up, we got to get out. We can stand all day. And if you go ahead and move on over to my next 2 points underneath, get up and we got to get out. We got to get out of these doors. We got to get out of our comfort zone. There are many times, and you know, I'm not going to lie, I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm sitting there, and I will tell you that I am more nervous standing up here preaching God's Word than I am jumping out of an airplane. I am. And the reason why I'm more nervous standing up here preaching God's Word is because the thing is this is my Heavenly Father. This is His Word. The Holy Spirit is living within me, and I do not want to mess this up.
Amen.
Jumping out of an airplane is just one foot in front of the other, and gravity is going to take the rest. Parachute's going to open, hopefully. No. It's going to open, and you're going to land on the ground. But the thing is, you know, I do not want to make, I do not want to be up here saying anything that is against God's Word. I don't want to be doing anything that is against God's Word.
Amen.
And I falter each and every day. I'm an example of, you know, being one of those broken men in my life. But the thing is when I learned to trust in God and what God would have me to do in my life, then I knew that it was that I needed to move forward. I knew I needed to get out. I needed to get out of sitting down in that pew right there. I ran up here and talked to Brother Ronnie and stuff like that about how I feel like I've been running from God too long and all that. I needed to get out of my comfort zone, sitting there and just thinking, you know, oh, I'm going to be fed today. I'm going to teach the, what, you know, if it's my week to teach Ganesh on Sunday night, you know, the Bible study on Sunday night. I'm going to help out Brother Bill with the Sunday school class and all that. But no, you know, it's good to teach. But the thing is God has called me into the ministry, and I had to get out of the pew. And I would hope then think that you would want to do that too. If God is our guide, God is our guide if we allow Him to lead. Isaiah 42:16 says, "And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In the paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These things I do, and I do not forsake them." Simple thing is all we've got to do is ask God to lead us. When we ask God to lead us, and we continue and want to live within His will, He will lead us, even if we think that we are blind to the path that is ahead of us. So, not only do we have to wake up, we also have to understand that time is too close. If you look at the second part of verse 11 here, it says, "For now our salvation is closer than when we first believed." Our salvation is near. And I want to be the first to tell you that it is even nearer today than we ever thought it was.
Amen.
It is. I mean, you can look around you. You can see what's going on in the world today. You can see what's going on in your communities and stuff like that. The time is a lot closer than we've ever seen it before. We can see what is going on in the world and know that we don't have much time left. Knowing that we don't have much time left, again, it gets back to what I talked about before, about we've got to wake up. We've got to get up. We've got to get out. Because the thing is there is a lost and dying world that is out there that is going to be condemned to hell. And if we do not share the good news, if we do not let them know that God loves them, if we don't show that in our own lives, if we don't show that in our own families and stuff like that, then the thing is they're not going to want to run to Him. We've got to, there's a work to be done. There is a work to be done. And the thing is we can't just sit idle in the side, and we can't be, you know, on the sidelines. It's a conversation I was having with a friend of mine yesterday at work. We can't sit on the sidelines. Knowing that all this, and we've got to get out and go, we got to understand that there is a harvest. Luke 10:2 says, "Therefore I said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest." So the question I want to ask you as we've read that verse here is, what are you doing to be a laborer? What are you doing to be a laborer? This gets back to what I talked about in that first point I brought up is are we waking up as Christians? Are we getting out? Are we going? What are we doing to be a laborer? Because as it's clearly defined in Luke 10:2 here, it says, "But the laborers are few," and the laborers are few. You know, you can see it, and any church that you go into, there's about 10% of the people that do 90% of the work. The laborers are few. And God has called us. God has called us not to just sit on the sidelines, as I just mentioned a few minutes ago. The laborers are few. The thing is this ties all into our home. This ties all into our home, men. This ties all into our home. The laborers are few. What example are you being for your children? Are you teaching them what you need to teach them? Are you telling them what you need to tell them? Because a part of being a laborer is also breaking into this, and I'll be the first one to tell you I'm just as bad as anybody else. Getting into the Word and doing family Bible study, it's getting on your knees at home, and it's praying with your children at home and your wife at home. It's going out and doing things, spending time in fellowship with other Christians. Not sitting at home watching the junk that they put on TV. It's getting out. It's doing things. The parable of the wheat and the tares is one of the parables of Jesus, and it appears in Matthew 13, 24 through 13, 30. The parable says that during final judgment, the angels will separate the sons of the evil one from the sons of the kingdom. So, the question that we've asked here is, what are you doing to be a laborer? But the thing is you need to think about it. Are you just being wheat? Us as Christians, we are being wheat. We are wheat because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are wheat. But the thing is are we just standing in the field and are we letting ourselves sway back and forth in the field? Or are we actually getting out in the field and we are producing more wheat? Are we getting out in the field and are we harvesting? We're not going to be the ones that's harvesting the wheat. Jesus Christ is going to be the one that's harvesting the wheat. But are we getting out in the field and are we getting after the tares? Because that's what the tares are in that parable. The wheat is the Christians. The tares are those that do not believe in Jesus Christ. The thing is not going to say that we're going to go ahead and, you know, say poof and wheat, tares are going to become wheat. But the thing is we've got to get out there. We've got to go. We've got to see. And we've got to talk to those that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The last thing here is that we have to understand we have orders. We have our orders. We're given orders clearly, specifically in the Bible, you know, from God. You know, just as I've talked about earlier, we've got to go. That's what he told his disciples to do when he was talking to his disciples. He said, go. You have to go. We can't go if we're just sitting on the sidelines. You got to go. Acts 13:7 says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be the light of the Gentiles, and thou shouldest be for salvation unto the end of the earth. We are the light. That's exactly what's being said here in Acts 13:7. We are the light. But are we shining the light? Are we as what we're, you know, what the topic of the message today is are we being those sleeping giants sitting on the sidelines, you know, not coming out of the light, not coming out into the light, staying in the darkness? Or are we reflecting God's life through our lives? Are we reflecting God's light through us? Because we have to get out of the darkness. If you see the first part of verse 12 here, it says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast out the works of darkness. So what it is we've got to shake off the old. We just have to shake off the old. We as Christians cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of Jesus. We have to forget about our past. We have been forgiven. As a child of God, we have to understand who we are now is not who we were before. How are we showing that we are different? And I brought that up when I first started speaking. How are we showing that we are different? Because we are different. And how are we being that light as explained in Acts 13:7? How are we being that light? So not only do we have to shake off the old, but we have to make sure we do not fear. Amen. Fear is a tool of Satan. It is. Amen. Fear is one of those things that if you let it consume you, you definitely will not be doing the work that God has called you to do. You know, is it that fear of going up to a neighbor and just saying hi to the neighbor and inviting them to church? Is it a fear of thinking that folks are going to ridicule you or make fun of you at the workplace because you stand for not wanting to listen to that dirty joke that's being told in the office space? Or you stand and you do not want to hear the cussing that's coming out of another coworker's mouth and say, please, just don't do that around me. You know, it's that fear of wondering what other people are thinking of you that Satan will throw into the back of your mind quicker than you can think. And the next thing you know, it's one of those things where instead of us standing boldly and us speaking boldly and standing tall for Jesus Christ, we'll have a tendency to slouch. We will. If we let it consume us. And it is a big tool from Satan. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteousness right hand." Psalms 56:3-4 says, What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear what the flesh can do unto me. We just can't let it get to us. We can't. And if we continue to allow those types of thoughts come in into our mind, if we keep that door cracked open for Satan to be able to bust wide open and just continue to say, "You're not good for this person. You're not good for that person. You know, you're a failure," and all that. It will consume you, just as I said earlier. And you can't let it consume you. So do not fear. But the other thing that we got to understand when we get out of the darkness is we got to take off the spiritual blinders. Because that's what it is we've got spiritual blinders that are on us that we are not walking with our eyes wide open. We are not walking within the will that God would have us to walk. How many of y'all have ever tried to walk around in the darkness? Anybody ever stumped their toe or run into the corner of a cabinet? Yeah, what are you smiling at, babe? I'm looking over at Laura because there'll be some times where, you know, so she doesn't try to wake me up. She won't turn on a light or anything like that, and she'll walk around. We've got this little hope chest, and I'm just as bad too. You know, the next thing you know, you run into it with your knee, you stub your toe on it, and all that, and it's just no fun. I do it too, so I think I've got a boo-boo on my knee right now, bruise from where I ran into that thing a couple nights ago. You know, it was one of the things that made me think about this concerning walking around in the dark. You know, the very first night I made it over to France, we were staying, me and three other guys, we were staying with a host family in a house that we were in. And I was up on the third floor. And, you know, you heard about what time I said it got dark and what time the sun came up and all that. And I remember the very first night I stayed there, I'd been up probably for about 24 or 26 hours. Try to burn myself out when I'm traveling so I get a good night's sleep and get on the time schedule of where I'm going. And so I fell asleep, and about 4 o'clock I got woke up because I had to go to the bathroom. You know, that's what happens when we get a little bit older. You know, trips to the bathroom throughout the night have a tendency to be more frequent. And 4 o'clock in the morning, I opened up my eyes and I said, "Where in the world am I? I cannot see a single thing." Had to look for my phone. And once I found my phone that was sitting on the little nightstand right beside the bed that I was staying in, swiped it, and I was like, "Wow, this is awfully bright." And I don't even think I turned it on. I just swiped it over, or I pressed the button so the light showed, and I could actually make my way to the bathroom. And I bring up this story to talk about how it's just that one little bit of light in a dark world, one little bit of light on when you think you can't see, can make a ton of difference. And the thing is just as I've talked about in some of the verses earlier and stuff like that, that is what God has called us to be in our lives. He has called us to be just that little bit of light. And you imagine that if we were just a little bit of light, if you were a little bit of light, if this whole church was a little bit of light and we just shined, oh my gosh, you know, there would not be any darkness. There wouldn't be. It just takes a little bit. Just like I talked about concerning the spark, it just takes a little spark. Just with the light, it takes a little bit of light. And when we are that example, when we are showing God's love, we are showing that light in our lives. And oh my gosh, you know, heaven forbid anybody who would, you know, heaven forbid anybody who would try to not find their way to our church if we were able to shine the light that we needed to shine, that God has called us to shine throughout our lives. And we did it together as one church and one body.
Amen.
What do we try to use to be that example in our lives, to be that little bit of light? Well, there's a few things that we can use, and it's clearly outlined in this scripture here, and it's clearly outlined when we talk about the armor of God. We have to put on the armor. If you look at the second portion of verse 12 here, it says, "And let us put on the armor of light." The second portion of verse 12 here says, we must put on the armor of light. We must wear the full armor of God, but when we put on the armor of light, then we are getting ourselves prepared. And the thing is there is a battle. It's not only a physical battle, it is a spiritual battle.
Yes. Yeah.
Each and every day.
Amen.
Because we are... We face these spiritual battles that we go through each and every day. You know, this spiritual battle, it may be one of those things that you're dealing with here or that you've dealt with while you're being here right now. You're sitting here going, oh, this is Brother Matt speaking, and this is the first time I've had to hear him speak. And please don't even start thinking that you need to sit here, but you don't need to sit here after everything I say and go, amen. You know what I mean? It may be a spiritual battle that you're having in worship with Jesus Christ, being here and the Holy Spirit being here by just sticking your hand up and fully praising God. I'm not going to lie. I'll be the first one to tell you. I didn't grow up in a church where I raised my hands all the time. I didn't clap all the time and all that. And Laura will be the first one that'll tell you that I just didn't do that. But there are times where I just sit there when I know I should be getting my hand up. I'm sitting there emotionally crying over the song that we're singing because just yesterday... the songs that we sang today, just yesterday, I just kept on humming that song in my head the entire time, you know, after I was finishing up preparing the lesson today. And I'm sitting there and I'm it's that spiritual battle of getting my hand up. What it gets back to the fear thing. What will other people think of me? You know what I mean? Am I going to be that radical Christian? You know, which we should be. We should be that radical Christian for God.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Or am I just going to go ahead and yay, this is fun. You know, we've got to make sure that we are doing what God has called us to do. And these are spiritual battles that we deal with each and every day. So not only is it a battle, but we must be prepared. What are you doing to prepare yourself for battle? Because you are going to be, just as I brought up examples earlier, going to be dealing with battles each and every day of your life. Being in the military, I was sitting there and I came up with a couple of different things to talk about how we should be prepared as Christians in our life. And I have a tendency to lean on how we are prepared for battle in the military life because I've been living military life for over 22 years now. And, in our military, to prepare ourselves, we communicate. We communicate up, we communicate down, we communicate to our left and our right. And preparing ourselves and making sure we do those comms checks with those that we're getting ready to go into battle with. When we do that, in the military, to communicate, I kind of compared it to how we have to, as Christians, harden our prayer life. How hardened is your prayer life today? And when I say we got to harden our prayer life, the reason why I say that is because is it just a, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, we thank you for this food, we thank you for everything in the world, amen. And we're doing a blessing. Or are we actually giving God thanks for what it is that he has given to us in our life? And Sarah's over there smiling because that's her prayer that we taught the kids before we eat when we asked the kids to pray. But the thing is are we spending time communicating with our Father? each and every day. And not only are we communicating, are we listening? We have to make sure we listen. We have to make sure we are hearing what He has called us or what He is telling us. So we have to be prepared, we got to communicate. We read in the military and we understand. We read and we understand past battles. We read and understand how the enemy is doing the things that they're doing to get after our soldiers. We try to read our books that are tactics, techniques, and procedures, or we read our field manuals that teach us how we should do certain things. We read. What are you doing to read daily in your Bible? What are you doing in your Christian life to prepare yourself by, like I said, first of all, communicating with your Father, and secondly, spending time in His Word? We must be in His Word, and we must stay in His Word. Just as, like I said, the military example here, we must read and understand past wars and things that are going on. We must understand what God has for us in our lives, because there are many promises that are outlined in these verses. There are many things that He has for us. And tools. You know, Jesus was able to fight Satan in the desert after spending 40 days fasting with what? Scripture. So how are you able to fight Satan daily when he's coming after you and he's attacking you each and every day that he tries to? It's got to be with Scripture. We've got to be in His Word. We've got to understand His Word. We've got to be able to use His Word against Satan. We got to. And the last thing we do in the military is we rehearse. And I say that multiple times because there's multiple times that you will do rehearsal after rehearsal after rehearsal. Over and over again to make sure that everybody understands each of their functions. Everybody that's on the team that is going to be fighting or is going to be moving out and doing something, they rehearse. So every person understands their function. In our Christian life, what are you doing to fellowship? I would compare rehearsing to fellowship and worship. And the reason why I would say because fellowship is a part of worship, the thing is, all right, as the body of Christ, If we are here worshiping, if we are here being a part of the body of Christ, then we are rehearsing, just as the military is, because the thing is we're understanding each of our functions. We're understanding how we interact in the body of Christ. We're understanding how we are getting after what it is that God has called this church to do, and what He's called, you know, what His will for us is in our lives, and His will for us in this church. But the thing is when you're not here, and there's nothing that says that you have to be here every single time the doors are open. As a servant, you should be here and want to be here every single time that the doors are open. But the thing is when you're not here, then you're not fellowshipping. When you're not fellowshipping and understanding the body of Christ, then you are not moving together as the body of Christ. You're not moving forward. Now, I'll take that. I heard an amen in the background, sorry. So it's a battle. We have to be prepared, and then we will be accountable. We will be accountable for what God, or for what we have done for God as Christians. We will stand before God, and He will ask us, "What did you do for me to further my kingdom?" And so we're going to be accountable. So today is Father's Day, and to the rest of the church body, maybe God has been working in an area of your life. Fathers, maybe God has been working in an area of your life. Maybe He's been telling you, you need to wake up. You need to get out of the darkness, or you need to put on the armor. Maybe God is speaking to you and telling you, you know, if you are not a believer here today, that the time is too close. And He's drawing you to have a close and personal relationship with Him. I don't know your hearts. Your hearts is between you and God this morning. But we're about to go into a time of invitation here. And if God is calling you to come and spend some time with Him on the altar, if God is calling you to come because He wants to have that close and personal relationship to you, on Father's Day, He wants to be your heavenly Father.
Amen.
I don't know. Do not just sit on the sidelines. We got to get up. We got to get out. First, got to wake up, as I talked about earlier. But I'm going to ask your pastor to come forward during this time of invitation. I'll be down on front. The deacons will be down up front. But if you just need to spend some time with God this morning, just come to the altar and spend some time with Him. No time is better than right now. Let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, again, we just thank You for today. We thank You for the blessings of today. We thank You for all that You continue to do for us. Lord, we just ask that You would be with this time of invitation right now, Lord. We just ask if there would be anybody who just wants to spend some time with You, Lord, that they would just come up and they would just kneel before You, Lord, and they would just lay whatever their burdens are, whatever is really bothering them today at Your feet, Lord, and they'd walk out of here refreshed and renewed. Lord, if there's somebody here that does not have a close personal relationship, or even a relationship with Jesus Christ, Lord, I just ask that today would be the day and the time would be now. Lord, we just thank You for everything that You continue to do, and we just thank You for all that You're going to do in this time of invitation. And all God's people said, amen.